clear coincidence is the fact that the Shaykh does not elaborate much on the very nice. He doesn't elaborate much on the verses and the narrations that are dealing with the Shaykh put on verses. He does not elaborate on. He doesn't go into the details. His objective is to give a clear meaning of the verse and to link the verses with each other. Yani how the verses are related. Why this verse came after this verse, came after this verse. There's a harmony throughout the Quran that the one of us will not really pay attention to unless you have firm knowledge like this scholar. And he will bring you some amazing things. So I will give the introduction to the tafsir with the objective of some of the objectives of the Quran being revealed. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليدبروا آياته وليتذكر أولو الألباب. A book we have descended upon you, and the one who was being spoken to is Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. ليدبروا آياته مبارك. Then Allah described this book, the Quran, as being blessed. It has a lot of barakah, a lot of blessings. ليدبروا آياته, in order for them, يعني those who read it, to ponder upon the verses. To think, not just reading, that doesn't make any difference. It's you need to understand, to think about what Allah has revealed. So when Allah strikes an example, we actually think about the example, and we try to make sense of it, and we try to analyze it. وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, and for those with the right intellect, will be able to take a beneficial reminder. It will be a reminder for the son of Adam, the believer, who when they read the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He strikes the example of this world, the similitude of this world is like rain that falls from the sky and it mixes with the soil. So vegetation grows, and as soon as the people are happy with the vegetation, a wind comes and it takes it away. And this is life. Allah strikes the example of life. This is life. You work and you build and you make money and you think everything is good, and all of a sudden death comes, or some calamity comes, or something comes, and everything is gone, and you don't have nothing left. And this is the similitude of this life of this world. So when Allah strikes these examples, the believer thinks about it, he understands it, so he acts accordingly. So this is the objective of, among the objectives of the Quran being revealed. It's a guidance for mankind, you get rewarded for the recitation, but the most important thing is implementation. You know, you have to implement. That's why a lot of the scholars, they explain the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيَتْلُونَ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أَيْ يَتَّبِعُونَهُ حَقَّ تِبَاعِهِ. And the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَتْلُونَ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ, and they recite it the way it deserves to be recited. The scholars say it means they follow it the way it deserves to be followed. And it is not merely recitation. Why? Because another verse in the Quran tells us about the condition of those who only know how to recite. Allah says about the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِيَ. Allah says about the Jews and the Christians that among them are illiterate people who do not know anything about the scripture except to how to read. This is Allah speaking down about them. Allah is degrading them, reprimanding them. This is not praising them, this is blameworthy. That they don't know nothing about the book but how to read. And Allah calls them illiterate. So, because of that principle, we understand that we need to follow the teachings of the Quran. Because it is the rope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed for us to hold on to. And if we hold on to the rope of Allah, we will not go astray. If we leave alone the Quran, then we will be in trouble. In this world, and if you're in trouble in this world, usually you'll be in trouble in the hereafter. If you fix yourself over here, it'll be good over there. So because our life is very temporary and short, we make the priority. We give priority to that which is important. What is more important than the book that Allah revealed? And not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected this book. This Quran is protected for 1400 years. No man, no government, no army, no jinn, nobody was ever able to come and change two words where the Muslims didn't know. Nobody will ever be able to do that. See? Because so many people have it memorized, even if they don't know Arabic. They don't speak Arabic, but they have the Quran memorized in Arabic from front to back. So even if the actual physical copy was to be burnt, you will get a couple of children, Muslim children, they will recite the whole book for you again, you just have to write it. So it's a blessing from Allah. So we probably learn as no Muslims with the other brothers how to read the Quran. Now we really want to learn what does the Quran mean. This is tafsir, which is explanation or interpretation, to interpret the meaning of the words of Allah to the best of our ability, using the statement of the scholars who are well grounded in the Arabic language, in the knowledge of Aqidah, the tafsir, fiqh, the seerah, the biography of Prophet ﷺ, jurisprudence, and all the various branches of knowledge. And so their outlook on things are much larger than ours because of their vast knowledge in the various affairs of the deen of Islam. طيب. And so I was thinking to begin with the Fatiha, but we did the Fatiha. Were you brothers here when we did the explanation of the Fatiha? Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, ahlan wa sahlan. Come on in, brothers, maybe not. How are you, Habib? لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. إيه. So I would like to actually begin with the introduction of the مؤلف, of the author of the book, محمد عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله تعالى. He says, الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الفرقان الفارق بين الحلال والحرام والسعداء والأشقياء والحق والباطل. Praise be to Allah, the one who descended upon his servant the criterion, the Quran, the one that makes the distinction between halal, that which is permissible, and haram, that which is prohibited. والسعداء والأشقياء, and the happy people and the wretched people, يعني the unhappy people. والحق والباطل, and it makes the distinction between the truth and falsehood. وجعله برحمته هدى للناس عموما وللمتقين خصوصا. And he made this Quran by his mercy a source of guidance for mankind in general and for the pious, righteous believers in particular. Because the Quran is guidance for every human being upon earth. But only the righteous, pious people are the ones who follow it, so they really benefit from the guidance. The other ones, it remains a source of guidance for them, but they never turn to it. So they deprive themselves from the benefit. So the book is a source of guidance regardless. How the people react to it makes them either those who benefit from the guidance or those who don't. Alhamdulillah, that made us among, inshaAllah. May Allah make us among those who benefit. وَمِنْ ضَلَالِ الْكُفْرِ وَالْمَعَاصِ وَالْجَهْلِ إِلَى نُورِ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْتَقْوَى وَالْعِلْمِ. And he made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this Quran a source of mercy and a distinction between misguidance, disbelief, sins and ignorance. At the same time, it guided them from these four into light, the light of iman, the light of faith, وَالتَّقْوَى وَالْعِلْمِ, and piety and knowledge. وَأَنْزَلَهُ شِفَاءً لِلصُّدُورِ مِنْ أَمْرَاضِ الشُّبُهَاتِ وَالشَّهَوَاتِ. And Allah has descended this Quran as a source of medicine or healing for the chests, يعني for the hearts, from the diseases of doubtful affairs and desires. And know, brothers, that the core of every sin on earth and the main entrance of the devil against a human being is from one of these two. Either doubtful things, doubtful affairs, shubuhat, or shahawat, desires. He will catch a human being from one of these two. So an example of shubuhat, doubtful affairs, is by confusing a person about who God is. So they will have God as a cow, maybe Jesus, maybe Mary, maybe saint, I don't know who, maybe angel, maybe rock, sun, moon, whatever. This is a shubuhat. He casts this doubt in their mind, and so they get misguided from that angle. Or desires. Somebody knows the truth, but His desires don't allow him to submit. He loves life. He loves having fun. He loves fornication. So he knows if he becomes a Muslim, no more fornication. So he doesn't accept Islam because of his desires. Because he cannot abandon something. You know what I'm saying? نعم. ويحصل به اليقين والعلم في المطالب العاليات. And certainty and knowledge is attained from this particular book in the highest degrees. وشفاء للأبدان من أمراضها وعللها وألامها وسقمها. And the Quran is also a source of healing for the body, يعني physically. As it has been mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah, from its diseases, from its faults, and from its pain, and so forth. وأخبر أنه لا ريب فيه ولا شك بوجه من الوجوه. And Allah says in the Quran that there is no ريب, there is no doubt in this book, in any shape or form. Absolutely no doubt. And as we were saying earlier, usually when you get a book written by any author, you might see in the beginning, you know, we apologize for any mistakes or errors that, you know, something, and they apologize. Because they're the son of Adam, you might have many, many errors in the book. You can't help it, whether printing, publishing-wise, or otherwise. The only book that begins in another case is the book of Allah. It says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This book has no doubt in it. No mistake, no error, no nothing. But like this, boom. And so people take it or people leave it, it's up to them. But the actual book doesn't have any problems. The problem is with the people who don't want to be guided to the truth. So they try to find faults, but the fault is in them, it is not in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذَلِكَ الْإِجْتِمَالِ عَلَى الْحَقِّ الْعَظِيمِ فِي أَخْبَارِهِ وَأَوَامِرِهِ وَنَوَاهِيهِ وَأَنْزَلَهُ مُبَارَكًا فِيهِ الْخَيْرُ الْكَثِيرُ وَالْعِلْمُ الْغَزِيرُ وَالْأَسْرَارُ الْبَدِيعَةُ وَالْمَطَالِبُ الرَّفِيعَةُ. And the reason why the book has no doubt in it is because it contains the ultimate truth in its statements, in the news, yani the news of the previous prophets and messengers, and the commands, and the prohibitions, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah has descended it blessed, containing plenty, abundance of goodness, and an abundance of knowledge, and outstanding secrets, and the highest of desired positions. فكل بركة وسعادة تنال في الدنيا وفي الآخرة فسببها الاهتداء به واتباعه. So every blessing and happiness attained in this life or in the hereafter, the reason behind it is the using is following the Quran as the guidance and implementing it. وأخبر أنه مصدق ومهيمن على الكتب السابقة. And Allah told us in the Quran that it dominates the previous scriptures which were revealed. It affirms them. The Quran didn't come and deny the gospel of Jesus or the Torah of Moses or the scriptures of Abraham. On the other hand, it confirmed them. But at the same time, Allah told us that this book dominates them because there is no authentic version of them today. But this is an authentic version of the book of Allah, so this one is predominant. You don't go to the gospel and try to worship Allah because you don't know who wrote it, who added, who deleted, who changed. You can't. There might be some things in it which is from Allah and it is according to the truth. But because we cannot make a distinction, this book dominates all the other books. And it is the one that has been established as the resource and the reference for the son of Adam who is looking to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Na'am. فما يشهد له فهو الحق وما رده فهو المردود. So whatever this book affirms from the previous books is the truth, and whatever this book rejects is rejected. لأنه تضمنها وزاد عليها. Because this book included that which was before and it added more, so it didn't leave any room for them. In other words, وقال تعالى فيه يهدي به الله من اتبع رضوانه سبل السلام. Allah says in the Quran in the verse, Allah guides with this book those who follow His pleasure, the path to safety. Those who follow the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this book. فَهُوَ هَادِ لِدَارُ السَّلَامِ. And the Dar al-Salam is Jannah, paradise. So this book will take one of us to paradise, بِيَدْنِ اللَّهِ. مُبَيِّنُ لِطَرِيقِ الْوُصُولِ إِلَىٰ. And it clarifies the path that you need to travel on in order to get there. وَحَافِرْ عَلَيْهَا. And it encourages you to do so. كاشف عن الطريق الموصل إلى دار الآلام ومحذر عنها. Likewise, it clarifies to the people the path of destruction and it warns you from traveling upon it. فقد تعالى وقال تعالى مخبرا عنه كتاب أحكمت آياته ثم فصلت من لدن حكيم خبير. A book which is its verses have been fixed, أحكمت fixed with strength. ثم فصلت, then it was explained من لدن حكيم خبير, from the most wise, the most knowledgeable. The book, the way Allah سبحانه وتعالى revealed the Quran. فبين آياته أكمل تبيين. So Allah سبحانه وتعالى clarified His verses in the most clear fashion. وأتقنها أي إتقان, and Allah perfected it in the most perfect manner. وفصلها فتبين الحق من الباطل والرشد من الضلال. And by so there was a distinction between the truth versus falsehood and guidance versus being astray. تفصيلا كاشفا لللبس لكونه صادرا من حكيم خبير. فلا يخبر إلا بالصدق والحق واليقين. Because it is coming from the most wise, the most knowledgeable. So the book does not mention except that which is truth and certain. And it does not command except justice and goodness and piety. And it does not prohibit except that which is harmful, whether in this life or in the hereafter. It's hard to read. وقال تعالى لا, وأقسم تعالى بالقرآن وصفه بأنه مجيد. And Allah swore by the Quran, in the Quran, and Allah described it as the Quran as being مجيد. He said والمجد سعة الأوصاف وعظمتها. مجيد is the one who has many qualities and all of them outstanding. Many qualities and all of them are good, excellent qualities. This is مجيد. وذلك لسعة معاني القرآن وعظمته. This is because of the outstanding meanings of the Quran and its greatness. وصفه بأنه ذو الذكر. And Allah called it, also described it as ذو الذكر, meaning the one of remembrance, meaning the one remembers with the godly knowledge and the beautiful characteristics and righteous deeds, and it is a source of admonition for those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who have fear from Allah. And the fear that we are speaking about is not being afraid. There's a difference between khawf and khashya. Khawf is when you are afraid of something that you do not know. Khashya is when you fear Allah because of the great position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. And it is not a fear of somebody who is hiding in the corner, but it is your heart trembling because of the outstanding, the majesty of Allah. So when we say we fear Allah, it doesn't mean that you're scared, hiding in a closet, hoping somebody's going to come and save you. You fear Allah meaning your heart recognizes the majesty of Allah and His great creation, so your heart feels, you know, humble and you feel in awe. This is the kind of khashya, the fear that we are referring to over here. وقال تعالى إن أنزلناه قرآنا عربيا لعلكم تعقلون. Verily we have revealed it as an Arabic Quran. Perhaps you may understand. Now فأنزلوا بهذا اللسان لنعقله ونتفهمه وأمرنا بتدبره والتفكر فيه والاستنباط لعلومه وما ذاك إلا لأن تدبره مفتاح كل خير محصل للعلوم والأسرار. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it in the Quran in this language, in this tongue, so we will understand it and we will ponder upon it. Now you know the Arabic language in and within itself is very unique, whether it's compared to English or French or German or Tagalog or any language in the world. The Arabic language stands in a position on its own because of the rich, it's a very rich language and it's very eloquent. Yani it's a special language. And anyway, the Prophet ﷺ, he was an Arab. And the Arabs at that time had no special quality about them. They were not people who were thinking of science, neither were they thinking of medicine or thinking of anything, building empires. They used to fight over camels and horses, and they used to fight over who was going to use the water from this well. Yani they had nothing special but the language. They were very eloquent speakers. And they used to think that being able to speak in a nice way is the best quality that the human can have. Better than the Romans and the Persians and all the money that they used to have. They were all obsessed with language. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this Quran in their own language. And he challenged them in the Quran, if you claim that this is not from your Creator, come up with a chapter like it. You write, you're all good in language, write some poetry, write something that sounds like the Quran. And Allah says, they call on to your witnesses if you are truthful. And the smallest chapter in the Quran is 10 words, right? 10 words. 3 verses. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar fasalli li rabbika wanhar inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. 10 words. Allah challenged them, all the heirs and anyone else after them. If you claim that this Quran is not from Allah, just come up with one chapter, 10 words, in the same style, with the same truthfulness, the same content. If you are truthful, and call unto your witnesses, then Allah says, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَمْ تَفْعَلُوا. If you are unable to do it, and Allah says, and you will not be able to do it, then fear the fire. If you prove that you cannot come up with a book like the Quran, then you have proved that this is from Allah, because it's the words of God, and the words of Allah and the words of the creation can never be the same. No human being can speak the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke, because we do not have the same qualities. We are the creation, Allah is the creator. So this challenge within itself is the biggest proof that Islam is the truth. Because we're still waiting for non-Muslims to come up with a chapter like the Quran, so they can say, here, this sounds like the Quran. So we will say, oh, subhanAllah, they met the challenge, this book is no longer a miracle. And everybody will leave Islam tomorrow. But this won't happen. 1400 years it hasn't happened. And Allah says, وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا. You will never do it. People will never be able to do that. So there's a benefit in the book being in the Arabic language. So doesn't mean that we feel bad. We learn, and we understand. So many of the old scholars of Islam, they were not Arabs. Not Arabs, but they came and they sat down at the students with the knowledgeable scholars, and they learned it. They became scholars in Islam, teaching Arabic and Quran and Hadith, everything. But before, they didn't even know Arabic, because people learn. And right now, if you want to become a doctor, you have to go learn a whole bunch of things about doctor that you never knew before. But if you really want to become a doctor, you have to start learning new terminologies, the medicine, things that usually we don't know. But if you want to be a doctor and make a lot of money, go ahead, leave. If you want to be successful, then learn. But people do it for the world, but they don't do it for the hereafter. SubhanAllah. Alhamdulillah. Tayyib. Fascinating. فإذا وإذا أيوة فلله الحمد والشكر والثناء. He says, so praise be to Allah. All praise and thankfulness are due to Allah. الذي جعل كتابه هدى وشفاء ورحمة ونورا. The one who has made his book guidance, a source of guidance, healing, mercy and life. وتبصرة وتذكرة, and means for having clear vision and a reminder. وَبَرَكَ, and a blessing. وَهُدَى وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. وَهُدَى وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ, and a source of guidance and a glad tidings for the Muslims. فَإِذَا عُلِمَ هَذَا عُلِمَ افْتِقَارُ كُلُّ مُكَلَّفٍ لِمَعْرِفَةِ مَعَانِيهِ وَالْإِهْتِدَاءِ بِهِ. So if we agree with what we have said earlier, then we will agree that the extreme necessity and the need that each one of us has to understand the meaning of the Quran. When we know that it has all this goodness, we will know how important for one of us to really know what the Quran says rather than just reading it. If we want to get all these benefits that were just mentioned earlier, then we need to understand what it means. So I will stop at that, although his introduction is excellent, mashallah. It's an indication about the vast knowledge of the Shaykh. And so we move on, inshallah, to the actual tafsir, which is basically our intention after seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that we understand what the Quran, what is being said in the Quran, because we are being addressed. And you are being spoken to. When Allah says, Ya ayyuhal nas, O mankind, this is us. Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, O you who believe, inshallah, this is us. So what is Allah telling us? Imagine you're reading it, Allah saying, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara, and you don't know what, but Allah just spoke to you and told you something. So it's really upon one of us to really try to learn what is intended with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jayyid. Surah Al-Fatiha. وَهِيَ مَكِّيَّةٌ. It was revealed in Mecca. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. First I say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Allah says بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. And this is the opening chapter of the Quran. It's a pillar of the Salah. And it is the chapter that we recite every rak'ah in prayer. All day, 5 times a day. So, يعني, we really need to pay attention. You should recite it at least 17 times, right? 2 for Fajr, 4 for Dhuhr, 6, 4 for Asr, 10, 4 for Isha, 14, and 3 for Maghrib, 17. At least 17 times. If you're not praying the Sunnah, the voluntary prayer before and after, and Tahiyyat al-Masjid, and prayer at night, and Taraweeh nowadays, and all that, if you're not doing all that, at least 17 times a day, we ask Allah to guide us for this surah. So what does it mean? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. Meaning I begin everything in the name of Allah. And Allah is a noun for the, or pronoun, for the, it's a noun. Is a noun for al-ma'lub, the one who is, you say for example, adored, worshipped. So anyone who is worshipped by people and magnified by people is called ilah. And the love of Jalala, Allah, is the unique form of this word, which cannot be feminized, it cannot become a feminine, and it cannot become a plural. It is a unique Arabic word, Allah. There's no Arabic word like it. You cannot change it. And it's the only befitting, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And وهي صفات الكمال. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the most beautiful of qualities, the most perfect of qualities. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim are two names or two attributes that indicate the outstanding mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huh? Now, they come from the same word Rahma, mercy. They're derived from the same root word, Rahma. So there's one form, Rahman, ala wazn fa'lan, and Ar-Rahim, ala wazn fa'id. And both of them are derived from the same word, Rahma, which is mercy. So, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy encompasses everything, the believers and the disbelievers. But there's a particular one for the believers that we will deal with later, inshallah. And although he said from among the principles that has been agreed upon from the righteous predecessors of this ummah is to believe in the names of Allah and His attributes. To believe in the names of Allah and His attributes. And we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahman, the most merciful. Meaning He has the quality of mercy. It is not just a name, it's a fact or a reality or an attribute. Ar-Rahim likewise. And so forth. نعم. Then the first verse says, الحمد لله رب العالمين. هو الحمد هو الثناء على الله بصفات الكمال. حمد is to praise Allah for His perfect qualities. وبأفعاله الدائرة بين الفضل والعدل فله الحمد الكامل فله الحمد الكامل في جميع الوجوه. And it is to praise Allah سبحانه وتعالى for His actions which are always revolving around bounty and justice. Either he is treating people with justice, like the disbelievers who disbelieve in him, but he still deals with them justly, not with oppression, or with bounty for those who believe in him. He multiplies for them and he gives them more than they have really earned out of generosity from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all praise, so the most complete praise is due to Allah from every aspect and in every aspect. We will stop right now because everybody's sleepy. Okay, and just being realistic about this thing. I know you're fasting. So the more we get through, closer to Maghrib, the more it becomes difficult. So we stop at that, inshallah. Anybody has a question before we conclude our sitting? Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.